Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Keep that open in front of you. Let's pray, shall we? Father, please send your Spirit to take your words and bring it alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, one of the highlights of every year was a Christian camp that we went to every summer. In fact, that was where I met Riss, although at that point she didn't like me at all. But one of the favourite activities on this summer camp was the night walk. The night walk. It was based in a small town in the middle of the countryside, and so it was pitch black, except for your torches. You had to bring your torches with you. And so we'd be happily walking along, and then suddenly the walk leader would stop, and he would make us lie down in the middle of the road and turn our torches off. I'm pretty sure there wasn't a risk assessment done for this particular activity. Why was he doing that? Why did he make us lie in the middle of the road with our torches off? Because as we lay there on our backs, looking up into the sky, we could see the stars. Now, I grew up in a city, so I barely knew what a star was. But in the middle of the countryside, when there's no streetlights to drown them out, where there's no torches to get in the way, you can see the stars in all of their beauty. You can see the contrast. Bright stars against a black sky, like diamonds on a black dress. And that's how Christians are supposed to be. We are supposed to live the contrast life. Look at verse 14. We've just read it, but let's read it again. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. We're supposed to stand out. There should be a contrast. Pure and blameless versus warped and crooked. If the world around us is the dark backdrop of a warped and crooked generation, then Christians should be those who shine like stars on a clear night. Blameless. Pure. Warped. That's the word where we get our word scoliosis from. Do you know scoliosis? It's a back condition when someone has a curved spine. So your spine is supposed to be pretty straight, but with scoliosis it becomes like a snake. And the Bible says that the world that we live in is bent out of shape. Crooked. That's when something is off-center, like a shopping trolley with a dodgy wheel. And you always end up getting dragged down the wrong path. The Bible says the world we live in is a crooked world. But Christians live the contrast life. This is the worthy response to Christ's humble obedience, which we saw and enjoyed last week. The worthy response is that we're supposed to shine like stars. Can I ask you, if you're a Christian, do you stand out? In your school, do you stand out? In your workplace, do you stand out? At home, do you stand out? In your friendship group, do you stand out? Are you different? Or are you just like everyone else? Christians are supposed to live the contrast life. And Paul identifies two particular areas where we should stand out like stars in the sky. The first area is this, in the area of relationships. Next one, this is never works. Next one, Steph. And again, one more. Yeah, in the area of relationships. This is the first thing. Look at verse 14. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. We've seen already Paul has this concern that the Philippians would have good relationships with each other. So last week in chapter 2 and verse 2, we saw him saying this, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Paul longs for their unity, and here are two things that tear unity apart: grumbling and arguing. Grumbling and arguing happen when you look out for your own interests rather than valuing others above yourself. Grumbling and arguing are not good for the team. And clearly this was something that the Philippians had a problem with. When we get to chapter 4, we find two ladies called Iodia and Syntyche, and they aren't getting along. And to the world, that's natural. Grumbling is almost like a hobby. Arguing doesn't seem like that big a deal. But that's because the world is bent out of shape. It's crooked. It's warped. And Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. That will make you stand out. That's the contrast life. That's the first area. Next one, Seth. Hit me. This is the second area where Christians should stand out. In how we treat the Bible. What we think about the Word of God, the Bible. Look at... Well, let's read verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Like a stubborn child holding on to a favourite toy, we must hold firmly to God's word, unmoved from its life-giving power. As we do, we'll stand out from the world around us. We've prayed about it already. But in Ireland on Friday, there was this vote to liberalise the law on abortions. It is just horrific how many children every year, children who are made in God's image, are killed. And actually, as I was thinking about this week, as individuals and as a church, we need to really think hard about what we can do and what we can say to protect the lives of unborn children. We can't stay silent and just let it happen. But what was most sickening to me about the pro-abortion campaign around this particular vote, what was most sickening was how sarcastic it was. I don't know if you saw any of this. The whole tone of it was sarcastic. If you are against abortion in any way, for any reason, you are now accused not only of being on the wrong side of history, but also being on the wrong side of women. So your views are not just seen as wrong and outdated, they're also seen as dangerous, harmful. Friends, we're in a scary place when the value on human life is so low. And when the smiling faces of our most famous comedians are happily, aggressively promoting murder. And if we're going to shine like stars against such a dark backdrop, what we need to do is hold firmly to the word of life. If we truly believe that the Bible is the word of life, that Jesus has the words of eternal life, that he is the one who died so that we might have life, if we truly believe that, then we need to hold tight to it. Don't be moved from the fact that every person has value from the moment of conception as God knits them together in the womb. As we hold that view, we'll stand out. Because that's in stark contrast to what the majority of the world believes. And that's just one example. That's just one of many ways that the world has twisted and corrupted and warped and walked away from what we find in God's word. But Christians are supposed to live the contrast life. So Paul says, hold firmly to the word of life. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Hold firmly to the word of life. Shine like stars, just like our Lord Jesus himself. The one who was so pure and so blameless that at his trial, not even the false accusers could come up with anything convincing. And yet this faultless one died in the place of warped and crooked ones so that we could become children of God. Living like Christ means shining like stars. It's the contrast life. And in the rest of our time together, I just want us to notice three things that will help us to shine like stars. I want us to see it's our work, it's God's work, and it's worth work. So the first thing, Seth, move us on, will you? You're my right-hand man today. Next one again. First thing, it's our work. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, Christians are like sharks. Did you know that? Christians are like sharks. Sharks, at least some sharks, have to keep moving forward in order to breathe. Otherwise, they just die if they don't move forward. They are designed to be on the move, making progress. And Christians are always supposed to be moving forward. Paul says, continue to work out your salvation. He's saying, understand the implications of your salvation. Experience the outworkings of what it means to live as saved people. At the cross of Jesus, we have been given salvation. We have been saved. By faith in Jesus, he has saved us from an empty way of life to a new way of life. So when Paul says, work out your salvation, he's saying, be who you are. Live as saved people. Like sharks, we should always be moving forward, increasing obedience to an increasing understanding of the word of life. You see, there is an ongoing aspect to our salvation as Christians. Yes, our salvation has been won for us by Jesus in the past. Yes, it's all about what he has done for us, not what we do for him. Yes, as we trust in him, that can never be taken away from us. And if you're not yet a Christian this morning, let me say now, the way you can be saved is by asking what Jesus for what Jesus has already done for you. It's not about what you do for him. It's all about trusting what he has done for you. That Jesus is the God who came low as a man. He humbled himself to the lowest place as he died to pay the punishment for our selfish pride. On the third day, he was lifted up and now he reigns so that everyone who calls him Lord today, everyone who says, yeah, you're the boss, not me, will be saved from the eternal punishment that we deserve. Now, if you haven't already done that, ask him to save you because he will. That's how you get saved. It's all about what he has done for you. Salvation is rooted in the past because Jesus died once for all and he's already done that. So salvation is rooted in the past, but it's also something that affects the present and something that will be fulfilled in the future. Salvation is not just a ticket into a party. It's adoption into a family. And there's a way of life. It's a joining of a kingdom. And there's a way to live. And so what has happened for us in the past, which we will one day enjoy fully in the future, also has to make a difference in the now. We're supposed to live the contrast life and shine like stars. And this isn't something that you one day achieve and then you're done. You kind of, oh yeah, I'm there now. I'm a star. I'm a shiny star. It's an ongoing process. You can always shine brighter. There is always improvement. There is always progress to be made in our obedience to the Lord Jesus. A Christian's work is never done. We're never there until we're there. And this is a serious task. Look again at verse 12. At the end there, he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Forgive me for mentioning the royal wedding again. But if you watched the service last week, you'll have seen that various people did a reading or a prayer or a performance or a talk. And some of them, you could see that they were really nervous. You could see the fear. Their voice trembled as they spoke. And to be honest, I don't blame them. It was quite a big deal. Millions of people were watching, maybe even billions of people watching across the world. And there were really important, powerful people in the room. Their task was quite a big one. And so they had a right awe, a right respect for the job at hand. And perhaps there's something of that here. Growing up in our salvation is a weighty task. It's to be done with fear and trembling. I wonder whether one of the reasons that we're not more like Jesus than we are is because we're pretty casual about it. We're casual with the things that God has given us to help us move forward. We're casual when it comes to hearing God speak as we open up his word. Take it or leave it. We're casual when it comes to speaking to God as we pray. We're casual when it comes to things like meeting with his people or taking communion. Obedience is a serious task in God's eyes, and he's more important than the Queen. Shining like stars, it takes work. Working out your salvation is not something that just happens by default. If you stop swimming, you're going to drift downstream. So Paul says, be a shark. Did you see that in the verse? He doesn't actually say that. But that's what he's saying. Be a shark. Move forward. Live this contrast life. Seek an increasing understanding of the word of life. And then seek an increased obedience to what you read. Seek an increasing commitment to hold firmly to the word of life. Get yourself into God's word by yourself as much as possible, daily, with other people as well. And in the area of relationships, seek that improving relationships with other Christians. Put grumbling and arguing to death. Don't leave room for it. When you find yourself doing it, stop. Practice valuing others above yourself. It doesn't come naturally. You need to practice. If there are broken relationships within the life of church, maybe you and someone else aren't getting along, don't just ignore it. Deal with it. That's the contrast life. This is what it looks like to shine like stars. So it's our work. That's the first thing. Second thing, are you still with me?
Yeah.
Good. That's more than usual, actually, so that's pretty good. Okay, it's our work. Second thing, it's God's work. Ah, this worked for once, Seth. Thank you. You're ahead of me. It's God's work. So, verse 12. It's our work, but it's also God's work. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You see, working out our salvation is not so much a partnership between us and God. Actually, it's God's work in us. It is God who energizes us to work out our salvation. And notice what he's working on. Look carefully at the verse. What is he working on? He says he's working on you to will and to act. He's working on our will and on our actions. He's working on our desires and our behavior. You see, this is how we work as human beings. That there are things that we want and there are things that we do. And the things that we do are determined by the things that we want. So here's an example. If I want to eat cake, I will eat cake. But if I want to lose weight more than I want to eat cake, then I will choose not to eat cake. I will eat celery instead. You see, what we do is always shaped by what we want most. Our actions follow our desires. That's how we work as human beings. It's true for everything. And I think this helps us to understand our own sin, just as a kind of sidebar here, a little tangent. But it helps us to understand our sin. So I think we often spot our sin in our actions. So when we do something and we say, well, that's sinful, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that. But what we do always follows what we desire. So it's worth thinking, maybe there are repeated sins in our lives and we just don't know how to get to the bottom of it. So it's worth thinking, when I sin in that particular way, what's going on in my heart? What are the desires that are driving me to do that thing that I wish I wasn't doing? We need to repent, not simply of our horrible actions, but of our heart attitudes. This is how we work. What we do follows what we want. And God is working on all of us. He's working on the inside and the outside. He's not content with a cosmetic makeover. His purpose is not just to control our behaviour to make us look all nice on the outside. He wants to radically change us from the inside out. God is a surgeon, and he's not just given us a facelift, it's a heart transplant. And what's the goal? Verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is shaping us to live in a way which pleases him. He is moulding our desires to be like his desires and our actions to be like his actions. So this is how we're going to live the contrast life. So often our actions are warped and they are crooked. They are tainted by our sin and selfishness. The reason we do wrong things is because we desire the wrong things. The reason that we grumble and argue is because our desire is for comfort or ambition. The reason that we might compromise on Bible truth is because our desire is perhaps for people's approval rather than God's approval. But as God transforms our desires and our actions, we're going to stand out. We'll shine like stars. And once again, we can't help but think of the Lord Jesus, whose desires and actions were God's desires and actions. Not only were his actions faultless, but his motivation and his desire were pure and blameless. Inside and out, he was perfect. He longed for the name of God to be honoured, even though that path took him to the cross. See, shining like stars is our work, and it's God's work. And Paul doesn't see a contradiction there. The fact that it's God's work should energize us to pull in the same direction. The fact that we have a role to play doesn't take away from the fact that it's all God's work in us. After all, it's he who changes our desires. So if we have the desire to work out our salvation, then it's only because he's given us that desire. So as we live the contrast life, let's not just take point one and go home. Rather, let's rely on the transforming work of God the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for him to change not only our actions, but also our desires. Rely on God, because after all, it's his work. It's our work, it's God's work, and it's worth work. That's the final thing. Read with me from verse 16. Start at the end of 15. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Paul, who's writing this letter, he poured his life into helping the Philippians to shine like stars. He illustrates his point with a picture from the Old Testament. In the first part of your Bible, you can read about how God set up a system of sacrifices and offerings so that his people could live in relationship with him, even though he is holy and they were not. Now the drink offering, you can read about it, it always went along with a larger sacrifice. So the drink offering was kind of the icing on the cake. The sacrifice was the main thing, the drink offering was the finishing touches. And Paul says to the Philippians, the main thing is your faith. Your faith is seen in sacrifice and service. Not an animal sacrifice anymore, because Jesus was the once for all sacrifice. But the Philippians were living radical gospel-shaped lives, which involved personal service, personal sacrifice. They gave things up to serve each other. They were living in joyful gospel partnership. And Paul says, that's the main thing. That's your faith in action. And he says, I'm happy just to be the drink offering poured on top of it. I rejoice to be poured out for you if that will put the finishing touches on your faith. He's so concerned for his gospel partners to live the contrast life and to shine like stars that he is happy to give of himself to make it happen. For Paul to see gospel partners shining like stars makes it worth all the work he has put in. Just like his Lord Jesus gave of himself and poured out his blood so that we might be the shining children of God. That's the model he follows. See, Paul has the big picture. Verse 16. Then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. When the king returns, we'll be able to boast in each other. I'll look at you and you'll look at me across the banquet table in heaven. And we'll praise God that he managed to get us there. We'll say, man, that was hard work. But it wasn't in vain. It was labor. It was tough. But it wasn't pointless. It should cause us. Paul says, rejoice with me. I'm rejoicing. You should rejoice with me. It should cause us to rejoice every time we see this shining like stars in evidence among us as a church family. It should cause us to rejoice every time we see one of our brothers and sisters holding firmly to the word of life. It should fill us with joy every time we see the mindset of Christ in our relationships with each other. We should be glad and rejoice when someone in the church family puts pyramid thinking to one side and values others above themselves, looking out for the interests of others. We should rejoice when the Spirit of God enables us to grow in likeness of Christ and there is less grumbling and arguing amongst us. Living the contrast life is worth the effort. Again, we see Paul's selflessness here. He is happy to be poured out for others that they might shine like stars. He knows it's worth all the hard work. And so for us as well, it's our job to help each other to shine like stars. The title of our series is Together, Joyful Gospel Partnership. Shining like stars is not something that we do on our own. We need each other. We need encouragement from our brothers and sisters to hold firmly to the word of life, even when the tide of culture is so strongly against us. We need one another to rebuke and to correct each other when we grumble or argue. If you see someone grumbling today in church, you should tell them to stop it. We need each other to stir one another up and live this contrast life. You know, in Edmonton, when you look up at the sky, it's not very easy to see the stars. But Silver Street Community Church should be a place where the stars shine bright in Edmonton. As individuals and as a church, we should stand out. And that takes work. Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Keep moving forward. But keep relying on the God who's doing it in you. And as our Father works in us, we, his children, will shine like stars in the sky. Let's pray together. Father, once again, we want to thank you for the model of the Lord Jesus. Lord, he has done everything that he calls us to follow. We praise you that he poured himself out for us. We thank you that he shone like the brightest star in the sky. Father, we praise you for his humble obedience and his selfless sacrifice. Please forgive us for the times where we blend in with the world around us. Help us, please, to be unashamed and unafraid of standing out. Help us to live the contrast life and to shine like stars. Help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And help us to rely on you, the one who is working in us to will and to act in order to fulfill your good purpose. We ask for your help because we can't do this on our own. In Jesus' name. Amen.